one of the ways, and the way that is really most congenial and psychologically effective for most of us is training ourselves to direct our love, our emotions to God. The reality that is felt in an abstract way as all pervading truth, that is good. That is, of course, it is truth, but it is not easy to feel that or experience that just by training the thought process. Training the thought process is important, but in most cases that is not enough, because our life and actions are more guided by our emotions than just our thoughts. Our thoughts are important, but that is only one aspect of our personality. In some cases where the thought process is so powerful that that faculty can exert so much of influence on our whole life, that just by thinking or reasoning we can change our life. But for a vast majority of humanity, vast to the extent of, let me say, more than 99%, the reasoning is there, but it is not so strong to influence the deep-seated, the deep-rooted subconscious and even conscious impressions which are the driving force in life. We may reason a lot that what is this world, what is this body and the other bodies, it is the same electrons, protons and all that. Does that govern our life? Just look at that. Our attractions and repulsions, our thoughts, our likes and dislikes, they do not change just by knowing this, that it is all same electrons, protons, and these all these particles, and the particles here are same as there in the that body of Triveni, same particles. But and do we feel that? Does our life really get changed by that thinking? It is not so. And why? Because what guides our life actually, what propels our life actually, is the force of emotions. The love, the attractions and repulsions that we feel, the likes and dislikes that we have, and that really makes our life function and more. It is very good to have this understanding that God alone is real and that God is my very self. I am divine. How much do my actions reveal that divinity? How many of my day-to-day actions, even the mental actions, really manifest this core divinity in all of us? When I look critically and analytically at my life, then it does not take much work to know that the thought is all right, the rationality is all right. I understand things well with that, But still, my actions are propelled by something deeper, something more intimate than that. I may think that it is the same divine, all-pervading oneself is in everything. And yet, I will not be able to escape the power of likes and dislikes. And therefore, it is important to feel, it is important to understand that there is the force of love. That also needs to be directed towards this divine. And when one can do that, we can see the life changes a great deal. The power now is available to alter, transform the life actually. And that is what is called the science of devotion or bhakti. So, the path of connecting us to God, a personal God. What is personal? Personal is that our reading of the infinite. We all are reading the infinite, all-pervading God, the transcendent and transcendentally immanent God, by our these specks of our mind and body. That reading is called the personal God. Like all of you are looking at me through your mind, through your sensory organs, and getting that all that input, creating a picture. But see, the way that one person forms a picture and the ideas is not necessarily the same that the other person forms. What Ram sees may not be the same as what Naomi is seeing or what Triveni is seeing. And they are all seeing, understanding, and yet a different Yogatmananda is appearing to them, because we are looking through this, our imagination, our mind and all that. So, therefore, we are not having the same perception of God, same understanding and same feeling about God. What I feel as God, personally what I feel as God, that you can call personal God. Simple, is it not? That is, what is personal God? A personal, individual reading or understanding or perception of that all-pervading reality. Now, this is our connection with God. That is how God appears to us. It is important that while we keep this understanding very strongly established in us, another component needs to be added to that, and that is that it is my understanding, my God. But this same God can be related to somebody else in a different way. Sri Ramakrishna gives the example that look, one person living in a family, say a lady is living in the family, she has her husband, her parents, her children, her other relatives, the friends. Now she is connected to all of them. And yet connected to all of them in a specific way. The connection that she has with, say, her little son will be different from the connection that she has with her husband, with her parents and her in-laws. All that will be the same lady, same person, but the readings of that same person, the connections that the same person have with different people, that will be certainly different. So, similarly, the same God can be connected, and that connection needs to be established. Our connection with the God must become stronger and stronger, more and more intimate, and that is what is known as the practice of devotion, development of devotion. Devotion therefore goes much deeper, as again what Sri Ramakrishna used to say, that knowledge and devotion go to visit the house of a person. Knowledge and devotion, suppose both of them are coming to our home. Just think of it. One person titled knowledge, then another person titled devotion. Both rang the bell, got into, we opened the door, both got into our house to meet us, to greet us. So when that devotion goes right up to the bedrooms, kitchen, everywhere, to the innermost places in that house, devotion goes there anywhere. Knowledge sits only in the outer parlor, that where the meeting room and all, there the knowledge sits, and devotion goes deep into the inner apartments. So the inner compartment or apartment in the house can be approached by devotion. So devotion is therefore something that goes much, much deeper in our being and exerts transformation there. And that is very, very important. See our life, how our connections are. When we get connected to somebody, our response, our physical as well as mental response to it becomes completely changed. We hear the news maybe that somebody died in an accident somewhere. We read in the newspaper or see it or hear it in the TV. We may feel a little sad. Oh, my goodness, what these accidents are. Why are people not careful? And the roads should be better or whatever. But it remains there. Nothing more than that. When you discover that that person who died, when you know that that person who died was your close relation, your son or daughter, or maybe somebody at that closeness, then what will be the response? It will be from a much, much deeper level. Somebody is sick, okay, sorry, sick, that person is sick. But my baby is sick, my little child is sick. Completely a different response. Why so? We know that it is because that is connected to me directly, very deeply. There is no rational really involved in that. It is my someone. So that connection is very deep. And so we have to now establish a similar or even actually stronger connection with God, so that that will now become a transforming force in our life. What happens to my child transforms my life because of the connection. Now, if that connection is established with God, now my life also will get transformed then according to this connection with God. That will become then the factor or the governing factor. But somehow this idea was in Arjun and in many, many of us, that knowledge is kind of superior thing. Why do I need all this devotion and such things? That just let me think that I am the Self. That's enough. Am I not the Self, all-pervading reality? Yes. How far, how much you can retain that thought, and how much does that influence your actions, how much transformation in your life comes because of that thought, how much you are able to give up the attractions and repulsions based on this divide of I and world. A real believer, the one who is convinced that the Self alone is, should not then hanker after anything in this world. But does that really happen in our case? Not with most of us. There are a few glorious examples where it does happen, or did happen. The example of Lord Buddha or Shankara, they are like that, that yes, God alone is true, the world is unreal, that immediately Lord Buddha's that whole world kind of dropped from his awareness. Just as when we learn that something is not real, then it drops from our awareness. When we know that the water that we are seeing was only mirage, then we do not go there to quench our thirst anymore, because we know it is unreal. So when we know that this world is unreal, then if our thought is strong enough to convert our life according to it, then we will not run after this world and getting more and more out of it, getting more pleasures from it. We know that it is not real, but even though we may know this, the life does not automatically go on these lines, and therefore it is important that we go by the path that is psychologically suitable for us, the path that we can actually traverse. And it is job of Maya, as they say, job of Maya or ignorance, not to let us go by the path that can remove our ignorance. And so Maya attacks, saying that, well, that devotion and all that, it is for those lower standard people. Are you not of high standard? The modern intellectual, yes, then why do you want that, all that devotion and such things? No, you, that is for the lower people, Ram may think I am that student at Brown, and it is I am very intellectual, and so I should be following just the path of knowledge. Well, such is the attack of Maya that comes in the life of aspirants, that what is really most suitable, most convenient for us to follow, it appears to be not right, it is lower something. It is not actually that being, the situation. Arjuna's question reflects that what is the superior of the two paths? And we saw that Lord is giving a very beautiful answer to show that Arjuna, for you, that is the best thing. He does not say that, oh Arjuna, for you it is best. He says that is the best path. They are the dearest to me, those devotees. Shri Bhagwan Uvacha, the second verse in the 12th chapter. Maya Vesha Mano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate Shraddhaya Parayopeta Teme Yuktatama Mataha. The Blessed Lord said, those who worship me, fixing their minds on me, ever devoted and endowed with supreme faith, them I regard as the best yogins. So the answer is given create that feeling and understanding in Arjuna, that those who are devoted to personal God, they are not inferior in any way. They are also equally great. They are the dearest to me, he says. And they are also, he says, yukta tamamataha. They are the best yogis. They, yogi means those who are united with God. So they are the best united with God. Those who think that God is my very own, constantly connected with that thought. And friends, it does happen by developing the connection gradually. Happens in life that you start actually feeling God to be really your own. I have seen this in the lives of so many people. I am not talking just about the monks. Many blessed householder devotees, they could keep this feeling with them always, that they are connected to God and God is guiding their lives. They feel that strong connection, that whatever God does for me, it is fine. And they take their requests not to this person or that person anymore. They take that to God. Even they pour their anger and frustration also on God, because God is real for them. It becomes real for them. How can they become angry with God if they do not have a strong feeling that God is real? You don't pour anger over something that is imaginary. So they have the clear idea that God is real. I am connected to God. And then you get angry, just like a child may get angry that why my mom doesn't let me go out to play now. Because mom is real, mom really controls my life. It is in the mom has the power to let me go to play or not let me go to play. Then the child can become angry on mom. So now the same thing happens. Instead of mom, God is my mother, God is my father, tvameva mata cha pita tvameva, tvameva bandhuscha sakha tvameva. God is my mother, God is my father, God is my friend, God is my sibling. That idea then therefore makes the connections with God. The demands also are then pressed on God. And God, do this for me, you must do this for me. It could be called a lower form of devotion, but it still is real devotion. Instead of asking this fellow or that fellow, connection now is functionally present with God. So instead of having this connection with some other persons, that person is now strongly feeling this association with God. So that person becomes connected with God all the time. And that is why he is called Yuktatama, and that constantly joined, connected with God. Whenever there is feeling of frustration, anger, or joy, or satisfaction, all are very closely tied with God. So that becomes the life. Again, we can look at the life of Sri Ramakrishna to see how this was. He would always go and report everything to Kali. And just as a little child would go and report to mother what happened at my school today, and what this teacher did, and why all those things would that little child will go and tell to the mother or father or the friend. So similarly, this Sri Ramakrishna would go and tell it to like a child to Divine Mother, that please tell me, and then Divine Mother would, sometimes he would come and say, Divine Mother scolded me, as if mother would scold actually. That Divine Mother scolds, Divine Mother approves or does not approve. It is that story of Totapuri, the Sri Ramakrishna's teacher, who initiated him and guided him in the practice of non-dual Vedanta. When he came there, he was a great authority in these matters, and as soon as he saw Sri Ramakrishna, he understood that here is a person who is really a competent student to practice the non-dual Vedanta. Why? Not that Sri Ramakrishna had read many books on Advaita. No, he was not well versed in all those things. He was not an academician. He saw, what did he see? Totapuri in Sri Ramakrishna, that makes him an ideal student, a competent student to practice non-dual Vedanta, a tremendous that discernment and spirit of renunciation, what we call Viveka and Vairagya. That Viveka, what is real and what is not real, very clear to him. It is, and that is reflected in the preferences of life, not just verbal, you know, that acknowledgement. Yes, God is real, so you write under God, real. the world unreal, so you write unreal there, and then all deal with the world that is unreal. What does it mean is that the world is real for you. You are dealing with world alone. So, with Sri Ramakrishna, the preferences of his life, they were all by this God alone is real. That like our preferences, when we see something to be real, that becomes preferred in our life rather than that which is unreal. What will you go to eat? A picture of banana or an actual real banana? The picture of banana, you know it is, it looks like banana, it is banana. What the picture is of, you will say banana. Will you go to eat it? No, it is, you will not go to eat it because it is not real. So, what is real in our awareness, that actually guides our life. So he saw in Sri Ramakrishna that for this person, Brahman or Atman alone is real. The world is not real, and that is highest competence for practicing the non-dual Vedanta. So Totapuri saw that here is the best material for this purpose. So he asked him, would you like to practice non-dual Vedanta? I can teach you. For that you have to, formally take the vows of renunciation. Are you ready for that? Then Sri Ramakrishna at that time told, I don't know what I will do or what I will not do. I will have to ask my mom. And Totapuri then said, okay, go and ask your mom. And when he saw then Sri Ramakrishna going into the temple of Divine Mother, he said, oh my goodness. There are still the past silly impressions in Sri Ramakrishna that is making him do that. But Sri Ramakrishna, for him, the Divine Mother is real. So he could speak to her. Not a stone image, not an image of clay for him. It's real. And therefore, Sri Ramakrishna could speak to him, to her, and get reply from her. Just as we speak to each other, is it not? Some people ask that how, it is all just matter of imagination. Yes, it is matter of imagination. But just as we speak to each other, that also is equally matter of imagination then, if not worse. How do you think that, son told me this? How do you know that your son told you that? It is just a body. If that is a statue, is it not? A statue made of bones, blood, and like that, instead of the statue made of stone, it is a statue. It is not your son. Is your son that body, that heap of flesh, blood, and all that? No, you know that it is not just that. And therefore, when do you think your son spoke to you? That also is Vishwanath, imagination, is it not? It is also imagination. If you have that idea from an image of God, when you see that it is God, image of God means you are actually seeing God there. Just as you have, if you have a photograph of your dear son, then you may think that photograph is speaking to me, that my son was as if telling me that, Dad, I want this. A few days ago, such a funny thing happened that a father was just, the daughter stays somewhere else, but they saw the picture of daughter and thought that, well, my daughter is actually thinking of me and is calling me. And then he went to see her, and because he thought that, well, she is calling me to come there. So the daughter actually he saw speaking to him. So similarly, and nothing wrong about it. What is that picture? It is also an image, just as the image made in bones, blood, skin, flesh and so forth. It is an image. So this photograph is also an image. It is when we form that close connection with God, then that image of God, we don't say it image of God then. We say God spoke to me. Nothing wrong in that, friends. It is how deep our connection is. That depth is important there. And because of that depth, we start seeing those things as real. Because of our deep connection with the names and forms in this world, all our hopes, all our aspirations lie there, and therefore all that becomes real for us. But for those who have this preference to Lord, Lord becomes real in their life. And therefore, always connected with God through this strong connection, personal connection. So you are connected to God. And just as when you are traveling in an aeroplane, maybe there are 300 passengers sitting along with you, big plane. Now you are connected to that plane at your seat. You are not connected to the pilot's seat. You are not connected to some other seats. You have on your ticket printed that seat so and so, 37E. So you are connected to 37E seat in the plane. That is your seat. There you will be sitting. That is your connection with the plane. You are connected to the plane at that seat. And yet you feel the connection with the whole plane. So similarly, you are connected to God in a particular, your own way. But that doesn't mean that the connection is weak. The connection is quite strong. Whether that is the whole of God, or is that plane the whole plane that you are sitting in? Even if it is a chartered plane, just for you, you will not be sitting in the entire plane. So you have a connecting point there. That is your personal connection with the aircraft. Similarly, friends, in the same manner that we all have a personal bond with God, and devotion means deepening, strengthening, intensifying that bond. That is the practice of devotion. And Lord therefore says, such devotees are the best yogis, best, most united to God actually, rather than the person who is just thinking of catching the plane. That person's connection with the aircraft is at a much lower level. He's just thinking that, yes, yes, I may be taking that flight. Whose connection is more real? The one who is actually sitting and flying in that aircraft. that connection is more real. So similarly, the one whose emotions are tied to God, that person's connection is much deeper, more real. And then he says, well, I don't mean that the people who think of the all-pervading Lord, that who is everybody's reality, the self of everyone, is formless. He has no personal connection with anyone, is beyond all names and forms, cannot have any connection or individuality, is beyond all description. What about that? Is that those who are connected to that, are they then lower or are they less connected? Lord says, I don't say that. But he describes it, and that is again very important truth, this coming three verses, that if you feel that, well, that is the you are connected to the all-pervading, the divine everywhere, that which is beyond all names and forms, well, what characteristics then your life should have? That also is told here. That so that we do not delude ourselves, that just because I keep on reading the books on non-dual Vedanta, or because that is something I intellectually like and prefer, that is my way. Let us listen to these verses. I personally am very indebted to these some verses of Bhagavad Gita to bring this understanding to my life, that just intellectually feeling that God is not enough. It is very different from having an actual loving, functional bond in life. So he says, Lord says, the third verse, ye tvaksharma nirdesham avyaktam paryupasate sarvatram sarvatragama chintyam cha kutastham achalam dhruvam sanniyam endriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayah te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhutahite rataha. These are the two verses, 3 and 4. But they who worship the imperishable, indescribable, unmanifest, all-pervading, inconceivable, changeless, immovable and eternal, controlling well their senses, even-minded everywhere, and devoted to the good of all beings, attain me alone. So Lord says that those others that you were telling about, those who worship the imperishable akshara, indescribable, anirdesham, avyaktam, unmanifest, all-pervading, inconceivable, changeless. But how can one feel that the characteristic of such person is described in coming 3-4 words? Very beautiful. That how are these people? First thing that you can see in their life, sanniyam yendriya gramam, a control over their sensual propensities, indriya grama, all the sense organs. A person who sees that the world is real, what happens? All the sense organs are always busy grabbing the things in the world. they are going out, they just become activated whenever they see something. You can look at a child and in fact can think of yourself also. Each of us friends, when you see something that you like, the eyes start becoming bright. They get the illusion that otherwise they are just seeing. But when you see something or somebody that you like, the eyes start shining. Now they are actively grabbing, as it were, that form. And the ears, when you love something, they become activated. Otherwise, the sounds are falling on the ear, you don't care about it. But otherwise, then they become activated, start shining, start taking things in. All these senses become, activated in trying to grab this sense enjoyments from the world. Because although the idea may be there that that self is all pervading, yet what is happening in this ordinary person's life is different. So therefore, the person who has even started this practice of devoting to the non-dual, all-pervading, imperishable, that reality, first thing would be that sanyamendriyagrama, that these organs, sense organs, motor organs, they will be controlled. That person will not let the sense organs run after these objects. And the propensity will tell, oh, let me grab this. The thought process will step in. Hey, this is not real. Why are you running after it? So the brake will be applied. And that is, the controls will be applied. That is what is meant by that this person's psychological ability to feel this imperishable divine principle depends on these factors, sanyamendriyagrama. Then what more? Sarvatra samabuddhayaha. They do not have the likes, dislikes, friends or enemy. They are evenly disposed to everyone. They evenly are connected with everyone because they see the same thing in everyone. If you are a grown-up person and have animal crackers, then you see, you know that it is the same substance in giraffe or in lion or in a rabbit. You see them as same. You do not then have your preference. So, similarly, this person doesn't have any preference. No, this is what I want. Then, also, the success and failures, that does not cause elation and depression in such person. It is not easy, friends, to just be the non-dual Vedantins or the worshippers of the formless. It is very good as theory, but it is very, very difficult to get that connection, that idea. Success and failures become so dominant in a person's psychological responses. If a person gets even a little success, look at the elation that person feels. And if a failure comes, that depression overtakes that person, and then the whole day is gone. A little success And that this is a saying in United States that I told one lady, and just a normal thing that what she had brought something to eat, and as called her and said, "Oh, that came out so nice, I liked it." And she said, "Swami, you made my day." Yeah, because that is a registration of success. So, and if she, suppose she gets the news that some endeavor that she was doing that didn't go well, then the day is just gone, brooding about it, cursing other people that, well, why this and that, all God, everybody will be then cursed. May not believe in God, but when something bad goes, then they, whom to curse, you know? Like everybody, the situation is not economically very positive, in because of recession, so many people have lost jobs. Now whom to blame? The then government, you know, the one that can come to the mind, whom to throw stones at, whom to shout slogans against government. Easy, you know, what is government that you, it is, we don't know, but still, what is the government, we do not know. In democracy, we are government. But then we, when we have to throw stones at, we don't throw stones at ourselves. When we want to, you know, shout slogans, we don't shout slogans at ourselves. But when we try to see who are the government here, oh yes, it is democracy, I am government. How many go to cast the votes? In United States, all are ready to scream against government, but when it comes to actually casting the vote, participating, discharging your responsibility, and that how many do? Less than 50%. So it is a very nice description in one that nice book that I was reading about democracy. Therefore, that what is that author? That
John Stewart,
yeah, and that Anne's grandson gave me that book to read. That the title of the book is very nice, Democracy in Action. He has put it, not Democracy in Action, but joined the two words. So what is that? That at that time you think of God. So such person then otherwise may not be thinking of God much, but depressed. Then blame, whom to blame? Cannot see any other person to blame. So God comes handy then, put blame on God. So it is. This person is equanimity, that is the characteristic, that person, whether success comes, whether failure comes, this person retains that sense of equanimity. And I have seen many people like that, that okay, it is what can be done. It is, things happen, things change like that. And then, what is, how they are working then, what their actions are directed at? Sarva bhuta hite rataha. Another very important characteristic. In a person who knows that the self is same in everyone. The same self is in everyone. Now, when I know the self is here, and then some other self in Abhijit, then what happens? My actions are directed to my well-being. I don't care what happens to Abhijit, it is a different thing. That I was traveling by that southwest, and then they were, as the plane was landing, they were telling the connections that if you are taking this connection there, you go to this gate and so forth. And if you choose another carrier, we don't care. If you are going by another carrier, we don't care. So it is myself is different from Triveni's self, so then I will be working only to the benefit of this and not benefit of that. It is that is the life of an ordinary person who really has no idea of what is all-pervading self. But those who want to really worship that all-pervading reality, therefore they at least try to see that the same self is in everyone, and therefore their actions, sarva bhuta hite rataha. What a beautiful expression, friends. Their life is therefore dedicated or directed towards the good of all. You will see them spending time in serving others, in putting efforts to make others' lives happier. Such is their condition. And so therefore, if we have these characteristics in us, then we are really actually able to and devote completely to that imperishable, unexpressed, and beyond all names and forms, that reality. Otherwise, well, it is good to keep that in our background and go by a connection with God, and that will gradually become more and more pronounced in life. Anyway, friends, the time is over for today's discussion. Next Friday, by the grace of God, we shall try to take up the next verse. That why, very important verse, why Arjuna is being told to that this is the path that is more suited to most of us. That reason will be told in the next verse. We have already exceeded the class time for today, but if you have some questions, we can briefly deal with them. Yes, George, I knew you were going to raise hand today.
Don't you think that this Veda non-dual,
yes,
is up to the individual whether he wants to do that, or the other way, the devotional,
yes,
is also characteristic of a person? So that's the whole deal, isn't it?
Yes, that is the whole deal. I agree with you there.
What's
yes,
that?
I agree with you.
Yes.
I agree with you. It is only the what is the congenial path for us to go there. That is the only thing to
yeah,
be.
You have to ask yourself, what, am I a devotional
person? Yes, you have to. You have to ask yourself that not only whether I am devotional or logical. We can have both. But which is a stronger trait in me in governing my life? And then that will bring the answers.
Yeah.
Yes.
In other words, you should.
Moreover, your teacher can tell you more correctly, properly.
Oh, yeah.
Like you go to a doctor and doctor tells you what medication is better for you. You don't have to always depend on your own diagnosis. So, therefore, that is also a way of getting it. Any other question?
Is it possible to be emotionally connected to the unmanifested?
Oh, that is a good question that it is, that Abhijit is asking, that is there, is it possible to emotionally connect connect with unmanifested? Yes, but then that becomes manifested because you get connected to it. It becomes your personal image of it. It is, you may think of it as unmanifested, that is quite okay. But still, actually it is manifest for you at that level. So, you call it unmanifest. I am devotee of unmanifested. But then, actually because you are tangibly getting connected to it, in psychologically it is still manifested. You can see this by in Swami Sardananda's biography of Sri Ramakrishna, Sri Ramakrishna and his divine play, this beautiful analysis of how this unripe devotion to God with form and unripe devotion to the God without form. Both could be unripe. And so it is devotion could be God to without form, and yet actually the name that you are giving is without form. With you it already has assumed a form. So that is the case. Yes.
When it comes to devotion, is it better to use our heart rather than our head?
That is the meaning of it. The nice question again, that whether to use our heart rather than our head. Yes, heart means our emotions, our feelings. That is what you mean,
yes.
Rather than our thinking. That is true, but there is a note of caution there that it could lay us astray if we are not putting the guard of our head there to see whether it is right or not. It is the function of our head there is kind of negative, and negative means it is restrictive, but not, like a police. A police doesn't, come and tell you that why you are not doing the charitable work and good work, that is not job of police. But if you are stealing, then the police steps in, hey, you cannot do that. So therefore, our emotions also, our heart is very good force, but it can, in the absence of this intellect police, can just take us in some wrong direction. So therefore, Swami Vivekananda used to advise that a jnana mishra bhakti, that is the word that he used, and also many other that teachers of devotion have used this word, jnana mishra bhakti, that the devotion tempered with knowledge. So that it doesn't degenerate into emotional effervescence. You know effervescence? If you open a soda bottle, so many problems come because that. So, and there is nothing much inside that. So too, many times the devotion becomes just an emotional effervescence and one mistakes it for devotion. So therefore, emotional effervescence should be separated from devotion. And therefore, head helps that. Oh, it was just emotional effervescence and not devotion. So although heart is very important in practicing devotion, it is the force, yet you should have the head also there. Heart is like the engine. Your car has to have engine. But if only engine and no controls like the transmission system and brakes and all that, steering, how will you be driving that kind of car? A car that has engine but no steering or other controls. So it is exactly like that. Yes. What to do? Okay, come on.
Some people interpret that, I've heard, that tamevo mata, tamevo pita, that you is the mind. Is
that is also one can interpret it like that. But it is addressed to God. It is not addressed to mind. But you can take that as an intermediate. Yes, idea. Yes. Please speak out.
Would Buddha, Christ, or Ramakrishna have gone off the seat if they had really dropped the word? They might be not
buzzing. I cannot hear you.
Would Buddha, Christ, or Ramakrishna have gone out to teach if they had really dropped the word?
Oh, yeah, that is again a very good question. That if the word is unreal for Sri Ramakrishna, Buddha or others, Christ or Shankara or any such great person, if they see that the world is unreal, then how would they be able to teach? They still teach. That is a very difficult thing to explain, that how they live in this world and teach others, that they still have that feeling that the world is unreal, and yet it is we are making therefore a show here, a play. An example therefore is given of staging a play. So the play is unreal, but yet you act in it as if it is real. The word therefore it is called Leela, and it is certainly a very intriguing, difficult phenomena to understand. But these analogies therefore is the only way to show. In Mahabharata there is a beautiful verse that illustrates this issue, this particular problem, that it says that Shakuni Nam Iva Akashe Jalevari Charasicha Padam Yathana Drishyeta Tatha Jnanavatam Gati. That just as when the birds fly in the skies, they do not leave any footprints in the skies. Similarly, when the fish, they go in the water, they do not leave their track marks. Similarly, these people with this knowledge, how they live in the world, they do not leave any tracks. So it is difficult to understand, but that's a very good question. But yes, the fact that they, in spite of their being the people of immense wisdom and knowing that the world is unreal, they still taught this secret to people in the world. There are many illustrative stories or analogies to make this point, but all of them after all are analogies, and it is an enigmatic phenomena, no doubt about that.
Sometimes Swami
Buddha,
the concept of Bodhisattva, these people who are enlightened, they love everybody.
That is yes, but this is a question again as an addition to that question, related to that question, that they see that the world is unreal, that was that part of the question. If the world is unreal, how would they live in the world? Yes, they live in the world, that also they see as unreal. Just as an actor would see that his acting in the play also an unreal, so that also they see as unreal. Thank you, and let us conclude with the closing prayers. Happy Thanksgiving to you all in this unreal world. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।